Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Church, say, you are ready. Yes, come, Lord Jesus, come. Two. Okay, two. The rest, they are not sure. You know what I'm saying?
But let me tell you something. What will make you sure? I believe what will make you sure is if you know when he is coming, then you will prepare fully for that day. But I can tell you that you will not be wise if you are waiting for the Lord to send you text message that I am coming next week. The Bible tells us that he will come as a thief in the night. So if you know that he can come at any time, you are always ready. So then you see, you will not even consider certain things. And certain things will not be of importance to you. The Bible says that when Paul had that heavenly vision, according to Acts chapter 26, when he had that heavenly vision, his whole mind on the way to Damascus, his whole mind was fixated on that vision. And there was nothing that moved him. He suffered shipwreck. He was lashed. People said so many things against him. And he was actually brought to the high priest. He stood judgment in the presence, in the court of Felix and Agrippa. And because of that vision he had, he moved. He kept going. He said, for me, Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said that, look, my whole purpose in life is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So he said that, you see, I have not arrived. You see, some of you, you think that you have arrived because of a second-hand car that you have bought. But Paul said that, I have not arrived, but I press on. Press. What does it mean to press on? It means that it is difficult, you know, to go through, but you force. You anacazo yourself in. Sometimes you feel sleepy, but you wake up and you say, no, I have to. Sometimes, you know, you realize that you are tired, but you say, no, there is coffee. That is why they make coffee. That is why there is Red Bull. Let me drink some so that I can press on. Why? To the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But you see, if you don't know that God can arrive at any time, then you will spend your life on things that are not important. That was why I said that you can start your day, but you don't know how the day is going to end. Hallelujah. You can plan that you are going on vacation, and you don't know that there are some rebels shooting in the air at random. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why it is important. Listen, behave like a dying man. If you behave like a dying man daily, Paul said that we die daily. I'm telling you, there are certain things that you will not even get involved. There are certain issues that will not be issues. There are certain foods that you will not even indulge in. Because what is it? What shall it profit a man? You know, certain jobs, you will not do them. Certain overtimes, you will let it go. Because if you do that, it will not give you the time to prepare to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And by the time the Lord comes, you are somewhere cleaning some shoes somewhere. No, I mean, it's not commodious. And there are some of you too, you are waiting for the Lord to tell you that I'm coming before you get serious. You will be down for Libya. Hallelujah. I went to secondary school with some people who slept. They never woke up again. They were not sick. The previous night, we soaked Gary. But then the following morning, they were out. And all of us, there is no guarantee. But you see, apart from the fact that you must be ready, you must also be ready to give an account of what you did with your life. Some of us, we will not have good account. We quarreled throughout our entire life. Some of us too, we swerved the pastor throughout the entire life. Some of us too, when they opened the church's records, you registered yourself once, and then every other year you come once. Some of us too, when they opened the records, you will find out that your tithe records were not there. Not that it was a mistake. It was not. You did not pay anything. So even though the Bible says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, when you go, you find out that you have a mansion. But it is not a mansion. The foundation was dark. And they were waiting for your tithes and your offerings to build it. But you were not sending it. So even though you are in heaven, you are, when it rains, you are soaked. And it's a permanent situation because it is eternal. It is permanent. Luke chapter 19. Let me start preaching. Otherwise, I will be talking and talking and talking. Luke chapter 19. So let's read. Luke 19. Please hurry up. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You see, Jericho, there is nothing good about Jericho. Because Jericho was cursed. Right? Joshua cursed Jericho. So, there is nothing good about Jericho. Right? But when you read the Bible says that Jesus, now you are overspeeding. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Do you remember in John chapter 4, when the Bible says that Jesus had to go through Samaria? It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. I must need go through Samaria. So in this place also, Jesus had to go through Jericho. If you know your Bible very well, you will know that in Luke chapter 10, Jericho was the place where that story of the Good Samaritan is told, right? The guy who was traveling through Jericho fell among thieves, and he was beaten and he was stripped. But Jesus had to go through Jericho, and he was going to Jericho. He was going through Jericho to get to Jerusalem, right? To do what? To die. Oh, did somebody touch my microphone? Okay, because I can now feel some echo. You see, on his way to die, he had to do one important thing. He was going to die. He was going to Jerusalem to die, but he had to go through Jericho so that he can perform one good to somebody before he goes away. So let's go to verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means righteous one. But the guy had nothing righteous about him. That is what his name means. Righteous one. So Jesus saw a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. So one thing about Zacchaeus was that he comes from Jericho, right? He was a chief tax collector. And then he was also very rich. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you think that rich people have problems? No. No. Okay, somebody says no. Somebody too also says yes. All right, okay, fine. This is a democratic country. So you can say yes, you can say no, but that's fine.
The Bible says that Zacchaeus was rich. He was the chief tax collector. If you are the chief of your workplace, obviously you are paid more than the ordinary person. Okay, so even by this verse, we can say that the guy was rich. And the Bible also actually says that he was rich. Okay, so let's go on verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus. The Bible says that apart from his riches, he sought to see Jesus. There may be a reason why he sought to see Jesus. Maybe his riches has not brought him the satisfaction he thinks that he would have. Like most of us, like this morning I was talking with one of the members, and then she said that if you have an ideal family, you won't have any problem. So I said, at this time one may ask, what is an ideal family? He said that an ideal family is you have a good job. I said, what is a good job? He says, money, good money, and then your kids are okay. I said, what is money? You see, because a good job is a relative term. What you may think may be a good job, somebody too may think it's a worse job. Money, how much money can you have to say that I have enough? You can never have enough. Even Bill Gates, he is still doing things to get more money. Warren Buffett, they are not sitting down like that. So how much money can you say that it's enough? You can't. You cannot. And as long as you live in this flesh, you will always be looking for more. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. But apart from his riches, there was still a vacuum in him. Solomon said that, I have it all. I have 700 women and I have 300 concubines. Everything that my eyes could behold, I had it, but I was still not satisfied. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the conclusion of the whole matter. It's to fear God and to keep his commandment. The man who was the richest man who ever lived, that was his solution to the world's problems. That was the advice he gave, that money cannot satisfy you. Women cannot satisfy you. Men cannot satisfy you. A new car cannot bring you satisfaction. Children. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, if you are looking for somebody who is looking for children, come and ask me. I will sell my kids. So that means that the kids were giving her problems. But if you don't have any, you will cry to God. You see, so in life, there is nothing that can bring satisfaction. You think that you are lonely? Let the guy come. You will prefer your loneliness. Yeah, you will prefer your loneliness. You will prefer your days in. You will prefer it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The woman at the well, she had 5 husbands. She was not satisfied. She was still looking for more. She was changing the husbands like you would change your socks. Yesterday, there was no satisfaction. With all the things that Zacchaeus had, there was a vacuum in his life that he needed to see Jesus. The Bible says that he sought for God. But I don't think that he sought for God. It was God who sought after him. You know, when our forefathers sinned, they hid themselves from God. It was God who came to the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Sometimes we think that we are seeking, you know, Lord, Lord, I thirst for you. You thirst for the Lord? As the deer panted for the word. No. You are not thirsty after God. Maybe some problems have brought you that way. Soon after the problems are taken away, Abe Mary, and then Abe Mary, Onyame Bosheno. That will be your song. So you are not testing after God, please. You see, and I believe that
The guy had also heard about Jesus. He had heard about his miracles. He had heard about how he opened the eyes of the blind. And then he told himself that, I believe that this vacuum that I have, this man can help me. And you see, sometimes there are some problems you can't even explain it. You see, if you are being squeezed, if a man is being squeezed in the house, he cannot explain properly his problem to the pastor. The pastor, when I want to go near my wife will tell me that all that I want you to do is to put your hands around me. Don't do anything. Just your hands around me is just enough. But when there is a proper job to be done, what has the hand around the wife accomplished? It's just a waste of time. But you see, when the pastor comes to the house, the man cannot adequately express what his actual feelings are. The real problem, he cannot. He can't. As the lady is going, say, Pastor, my problem is... He cannot, express himself. So Zacchaeus' problem, when he came to God, can you imagine what he told God? He could not. Just tell him what his problem... he can't come and say that, Lord, I think that there is a vacuum. I have money, I have houses, I have this, but, I don't have the peace. No. But Jesus knew. That was why he passed through Jericho. Even though there were thieves on the road. Even though Jesus was so familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, he still passed there because there was somebody who had it all. But he had to meet the Lord to connect. Are you understand what I'm saying? So the Bible says that he had a problem. Like all of us, we have problems. So the rich man also had a problem. And his problem was that he was a short man. That was the number one problem. Number two problem, there were a lot of people. So he could not reach the Lord. You see, the Bible says that he was short in stature. And that prevented him from getting close. Listen, all of us are short in stature in one way or the other. Because the Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So we have not attained the high standards of God. But no matter his predicament, it did not prevent him from seeking and from knowing. That means that you don't have any excuse that is so tangible enough not to draw close to the master. Despite his stature, he made a way. What way did he make? He ran. The Bible says that he ran. You see, in the Middle East, it is abominable for a man to run. More so, a rich man, dignified man, does not run. So when people saw a man running, it was an abomination. Very strange sight. And then a rich man also running. But the guy was so desperate that he would not allow this Jesus to pass by. Because what he didn't know was that if he was not able to get hold of him, he would never see him again because the guy was going to die. So he was desperate and he had to do anything possible to get connected to him. So he did what boys would normally do. Boys climb trees, not rich men and old men. You see, he became a boy, as your pastor is saying. He became a boy, and he had to convert himself to become a boy so that he would have Jesus' attention. You are not desperate. You are not desperate enough. You have a problem, the pastor says, let's come and let's fast and pray. When he calls you, no answer. Asuma, you are at the beach. That's why these days I don't fast and pray for people by heart. We will all come and fast and pray together. I won't fast and pray whilst you are eating. It is not possible. You see, you are not desperate. That is why You are handling your issues the way you are handling it. But if you are desperate like Hannah, you will spend hours, hours praying, crying, telling the Lord your problems. The Lord is not moved by excuses. He is moved by those who can go on their knees and cry to Jehovah God. His ears are attentive to them. Not people who cry. Cry. Don't be moved by tears. Don't be. I'm telling you, don't be moved by tears, but be moved by people who can touch heaven with their prayer. The Bible says that those who know their God, they shall do exploit. When this guy, Zacchaeus, a rich person, was desperate, he did something that ordinary people would not do. He did something that rich people would not do. Look, he took a risk. The guy was old. He took a risk. When my son descends my stairs, he does not descend the stairs like the way I do. He slides. I don't. Because I have to take time and then go one by one. Right? When Zacchaeus was climbing the tree, he risked falling down. When he falls, apart from the fact that he will break his leg, they will also capture him and place him on the television that the rich man who fell climbing there. I mean, he can easily get a name, isn't it? But when you are desperate, you don't think about all those things, isn't it? When you are desperate, you don't think, I mean, you don't care about that. You don't care about the risk you take. All that you need is that I want this Savior to hear my cry. So he climbed the tree. And then when he climbed the tree, verse number five. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. You see, there are certain decisions when you take in your life, Jesus can never ignore you. When Jesus got to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. There are many people who excuse their need for Christ because their whole mind, right, is, you know, fixated on the things that the world acclaim. Do you understand what I'm saying? The world has so many things. I mean, as far as the world is concerned, if you are rich, if you have power, if you have money, you are okay. Are you not okay? You are fine. But Luke chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says that what is esteemed by men is abominable to God. And that is the reason why a lot of people don't want to come to God. Because when they look at their circumstances, they are okay. I mean, they have a good job. They have wife. They even have two girlfriends on the side. They have children. I mean, there is nothing that they need. So why pray? That is why people who get their papers, they stop praying. Who get beloveds, they are no longer very entrenched in the church. Because as far as you are concerned, your miracle has come to pass. Is that not the case? So we look at the things that the world cheers, and then we, you know, just, you know, flush away our need for Christ. But Jesus saw him, and then he said that, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will do what? I will abide in your house. Then he made haste and he came down, and Jesus received him joyfully. Then what happened? When they saw, do you know who saw? Do you know the day? The righteous people. The people who think they have two cars. They have a house in Long Island, one in Westchester, one in Brooklyn, one in upstate. I mean, when they look at they are fine. So when they come to church, let us praise the Lord. They pocket. And they see people who are on the floor crying. Ah, I hear when he went for his interview, he was rejected. That's why probably he is on the floor crying plenty like that. Yeah, I mean, you see, people assign reasons all the time, isn't it? People assign reasons for our behaviors. That is why when I came, I had to explain to you the reason why I'm here, just in case you assigned a different, you know, reason. Like when I go to Manhattan, they, why is he here? Why is he here? And they do that to me all the time. So wherever I go, especially Manhattan, I have to explain why I'm there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the people who thought they were good, listen, never think that you are good. Never let it not cross your mind to think that you are good. You are not good. First of all, the Bible says that you are not good. Secondly, let me tell you, maybe you don't have a problem with lying, but you have a problem with lust. You see, the devil can choose how to use you and who to use. You see, the other time, I believe it's in Job 31, Job said that I have made a covenant with my eyes never to look at a woman lustfully. You know, that is a covenant that he made. Maybe that was his problem, so he had to make a covenant. Maybe you, I mean, by your, you know, at your age, dear, I mean, there is, you cannot make that, you know, covenant. But maybe your problem is greed. There is nobody who is good. You see, and if you know that you are bad, you will receive forgiveness. Do you know the people who are very hard to convert? They are the people who think that they have some religion and they know. But those who know that they are sinners, easily, because they think that they have a need. But those who think that they are okay, no. So that was Jesus' problem with the Pharisees. Because they thought that they knew everything. Everything they knew. They didn't need any help. They are okay in life. You see, but Zacchaeus there, he knew that he had a problem. I mean, he accepted the fact that he had a problem. You know? So if you accept that you have a problem, you will receive a solution to your problem. That is why the Bible says that if you confess your sins, if you think that you have sins and then you confess, then he is faithful to forgive you. But if you think that you are okay, then you will be giving excuses. He slapped me. That is why I also slapped him. If he didn't slap me, I wouldn't have also slapped him. So it was because he did that. It was self-defense. So you know what? I mean, you know, you will be giving excuses. You know, but if you know you are wrong, you are wrong. One day, a small boy misbehaved. As soon as the boy saw the mother, he said, "Mama, I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned." What do you think the mother would do? And what he did was very serious. But because he owned up and said, "Mama, I have sinned. Beat me." He offered himself to be beaten. Do you think that the mother beat him? The mother could not. The mother could not because he acknowledged his sins. So the mother could not do nothing. So the Bible says that, you know, people started murmuring that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Do you think that Jesus needed to be informed about Zacchaeus? No, he knew Zacchaeus. That was why he passed through, you know, Jericho just to see him. Hallelujah. So he was not telling him anything that he didn't know. Like some of us, we hide our sins and then we point out other people's sins. Until one day you are also found out. And you realize that you are but flesh and blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? So verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods, I give it to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." You see, when he started his day, he had no idea how the day was going to end.
He had no idea that he would receive and he would meet somebody who would turn his life around. He had a change of heart when he met the master. And when he had a change of mind, his attitude also changed. You can never meet the Lord and you will be the same. You can never meet him and your attitude is still the same. I mean, there must be a change. But you see what happened? Those who were accusing him, if anybody died after, they would have missed heaven. But not with Zacchaeus. He humbled himself. You see, some of us, we have, you know, exalted ourselves. We have become like Baloo. When they punch you. But he had a change of heart and a change of mind. That is called repentance. Repentance is not crying. Repentance is a U-turn. Crying does not make people repent. What they do shows repentance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he repented and said, look, if I have taken anything from anybody, I restore it tenfold. Then Jesus said something in verse 10. Verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. He said that Jesus said unto him, today salvation has come to this house. Because he's also a son of Abraham. When we talk about a son of Abraham, we are talking about faith. You see, it was faith that moved him to do what he did. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Jesus said that this guy is also part of the commonwealth of Israel. He is also the son of Abraham. What are you talking about? You can't call him a thief. You can't call him a tax collector. You cannot ostracize him just by his profession. Fine. I mean, he has acknowledged his sins and he has received forgiveness. And now he has started bearing different fruits. Fruits of repentance. He said, Lord, if I've taken anything, I will restore it. He's making restitution for everything. Is that not the case? So Jesus now told him the reason why he did this. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save one that was lost. So I am going to die, but before I die, I must save a soul before I go to heaven. When we get to heaven, it is not about how many shoes you have. Whether you have attachments, you have different wigs, you have different clothes, it will not be about how well you could dance in the church. Jesus was going to die, but he said, before I close my eyes, I must need go through Jericho. Because there is a guy who has tried everything, but yet still, there is a vacuum. And he is saving the lost. Through his church. He is saving the lost through us. Do you know why there are so many problems in the church? Not in this church, but in Christian churches. We have missed our focus. Some people are fighting over offerings. Some people too are fighting over beloveds. Some people too are fighting over who is going to sing. Meanwhile, there are lost souls. And Jesus said that I came just to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me give you some few points and then I'll be done. You know, the call of Zacchaeus. You know, the call of Zacchaeus had certain principles, right? The first one is that his calling was a call of grace. Do you know that God had mercy upon him? It was grace and mercy. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, if anybody could be saved, it would not have been Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus had it all. But he cannot buy salvation. With all the money he had, he could not buy his salvation. Jesus says that salvation is by grace. It is by grace that we have been saved. If he was going through the normal way, he could not, because Jesus would normally go through a dangerous place. Even when you are looking for a place to live, you don't want to live in a dangerous place. But his salvation came through grace and mercy. It was only the Lord who had mercy on him. He could not have earned it otherwise. And Jesus had to go through Jericho so that he can get to him. It was just by grace. Do you understand it?
Yes.
It was just by. So his calling was not by qualification. If it was by qualification, he would not have qualified. And if it is by qualification that we are saved, none of us will qualify. Amen. So you see, sometimes let us have patience and mercy on people who falter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let us not be so critical about people who fall, below the standard. No. Because you have made it not because of your strength, but you have made it because of the grace of God. You see, the other time, the Lord was telling Peter that, if everybody leaves, you will also leave. Peter said, me. You don't know who you are talking about. Me. Have you not heard? I am the rock. Unmovable. But what he didn't know was that he was operating that way because of the grace. The moment the grace was removed from him, he cares God. Said, this man, I don't know him from anywhere. This one, nah. I don't. You see, sometimes we are so strong in the things we say, and we are so strong in whom we think we are. But it is just by grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And Zacchaeus was saved by grace, not because of anything. Hallelujah. Are you understand what I'm saying? Next, Zacchaeus' call was a personal call. Personal. There were so many people who were following the Lord. But he was the only one who also climbed the tree. Maybe there were other kids who were also perching there with him. And then they were saying, Akwada, no open them. Maybe so many things were happening on the tree. But when Jesus got to where he was, it was a personal call. He said, Zacchaeus, of all the people who were hanging there, he said, Zacchaeus, you. Maybe Zacchaeus said that, me? And Jesus was not mistaken. He called him by his name. He knew his name. So he called me and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste. Come down. Come down. Come down. You see, it's a personal call. Jesus always called people by units. Sometimes you think that, because you are in the Bronx church, when they are calling people to come to heaven, I will just just jump in and go. No. It is an individual affair. It's a personal call. It's a personal call. Don't live your Christian life with your friend. I always tell my wife, I say, you are this thing, it is only for here. When we get to heaven, you don't know me, I don't know you. Yeah, we will receive glorified bodies. We can't do nothing there. You know what I'm saying? Everything is here. What am I preaching? Everything is here. You are responsible for your Christian life. I am also responsible. Jesus called Matthew alone. He was sitting by the decks, giving tickets to people, how much they have to pay, and then he called him. Peter was called alone. Andrew was called alone. Jesus has also called you alone, and you should be responsible for your Christian life. Don't say that My friend is not going for prayer meeting, so me too, I won't go. Share. It is a personal call. Jesus called Zacchaeus personal. He says, Zacchae or Zach? It's a personal call. Hallelujah. Listen, it's a personal. Make sure that when the Lord comes right now, you are ready. Don't say that, but he's also not, you know, ready. You see, so many times we behave like secondary school people. When you write an exam and then you fail, then you are comforted by the fact that you are not the only one who failed, but many people also failed. Oh, the exam was difficult though. The exam was, many people did not do well, many people, then you are okay by the fact that many people did not make it. But you see, apart from the fact that many people did not make it, many people also made it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Many people. So don't be concerned about the number of people who did not make it, because you did not make it. In the same circumstance, other people also made it. Include yourself in the other people also who made it. So as for the call there, it's an individual. Don't look at people, right, and then lead your life just by the way they lead their life. No. You will be surprised what they are doing that you don't know. Well, I'm telling you, you'll be very surprised. The things that they do that you don't know, you think that you are the same. You are not the same. Sure, you are not. So it's a personal call. Hallelujah. It's a personal call. Amen. Number three, it's a hastening call. Haste. Do you know haste? Just a count. Hurry up. Haste. No? Hastening call. It is not a call that you will think about and say, oh, you know, this year now, you know, we have conquered, you know, 7 months already. So, Chese, men from Koshim, when? Then at the end of the year, Mumunu, we start a new life. Oh Lord, this month has almost ended. So let me go and do it one more time and come. But it's a hastening call. It's a call that demands urgent attention and decision. So the Bible says that today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart as in the days of provocation when your fathers tempted me. They proved me and they saw my words. When you hear his voice, do not tell yourself that, God, give me some time. Give me some time. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. So I said, come, hurry up and come down, because the call is a hastening call. Don't leave here this afternoon and think that you have another chance. You don't have, my sister. It's a hastening call. Anything that you have to do it quickly, because you may not have tomorrow. It's a hastening call. When you hear the voice, it's a hastening call. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, it's a hastening call. It is something that should get you on your feet and then start moving. You don't have to sit there after hearing all these things. You know, we are not interested in showing you this thing. I have some in the house. Dakar El Salam Healing Jesus. Yeah, it's nice when you wear it. It's fine. It's beautiful. Ain't it? Yeah, it's fine. But that is not the reason why you are wearing this is not because, you know, it is hot or it is summer. That is why I wanted you to understand that we are not wearing this because, you know, it is summer. We want to feel free. No, there is a reason why we are wearing this. And it's a hastening call. Behave like a dying man. You'll be wise. If you behave like a dying man, there are things you will not fight. You will let things go easy. You will not hold on to things and prosecute. Are you a prosecutor? No. Let it go. Because, you see, what is the point? The Lord is coming tomorrow.
What is the point? I need to get ready. I need to, by all means, find a soul to save. I don't want the Lord to come and then still I'm fighting with this girl. Still I'm fighting with this boy. Still I'm going to this house and go and saw the person's out. Why? Are you a fool? No. Let it go. One day a woman lost three children in 6 months. Or three? No, four in 6 months. Then the third one, when the woman heard the news, she went berserk, screaming. And you know, back home too, unlike here, men don't wear pants, at least our time. You know, so you will find that they have a cloth that they used to cover, and then they use some tomah to strengthen it, isn't it? So when this woman heard the news, oh, she was jumping. And then the cloth fell. Then some people are, oh, mommy, that cotton went. I said, well, what is it for? Why, you know, why should I cover myself? For what? Three of my kids, they are gone. I'm done. I'm finished. It is not important to cover myself anymore. Just like some people, the clothes that they have worn, it is not appropriate. So then as they climb the stairway, they pull the back. And then they try to cover. What sort of evil foolishness is that? If you know that what you have worn exposes some of your backside, then look for something. Why should you employ another hand to pull? Oh, a mobile. What was I saying? It's a hasting call. You must hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You must hurry up. It's a hasting call. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no time for jokes. Some of you don't come from midweek service. It's okay. I'm preaching to you now. It's a hasting call. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, there are certain things I will tell you, your pastor won't tell you. Because me, I'm not here. Over there too, I have masters there. Uh-huh. But when you come, so it's a hastening call. Don't put it away. Because, listen, you can never have money enough. And you can never solve all your problems before you come to know that. No, 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 no. You can't solve all your problems. Once you solve them, and the problems I had when I first got married, I don't have those problems now. But now I have different ones. Different. You know, the problems that you have when your kids are born, now you have different problems. They don't even mind you. After some time, they think that you are too old. They are in their room thinking about themselves. When you come to their room, then, you know, it's like, well, what do you want? Different problems. Next, it's a humbling call. The call is a humbling call. The guy was rich, but God had to humble him. God had to humble him. It was a humbling call. Says that, you see, look at a rich man running. A rich man, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, climbing, you know, trees. No, seriously. And God said, come, Zacchaeus, come. Sit, kneel down. Sometimes you have to. The pastor has to call you. Say, come and give your life to Christ. Then you say, oh, but me, I'm good. I pay my tithe. I do, you know, why do I not know? No. Ah, me, big man, pa, I should go and then lift my hands and say that, oh, I give my life to. That is why a lot of people leave the church and they don't give their lives to Christ. They come, the preaching touches their heart. It penetrates. Because the word of God, it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Hey! It has pierced. But they are sitting down because they look around. They are, you know, they are not my co-equals. Why should I, you know, stand and then come and give my life? And then the pastor will say, kneel down. It is pride. Naaman. Naaman, it was, he had it all, but he was also a leper. It was a setback.
And because of his pride, when they told him to go and bathe in the river, he looked at himself, an army general. Why should I go and bathe in that dirty river? If I want, you know, rivers to bathe in, there are better rivers in Syria. Amama and whatever, Apapa or whatever, Lagos or whatever. No. There are other better rivers. So it took a small girl. He said, my master, if the prophet had told you to bring the eye of a crocodile or the teeth of Osebo, wouldn't you have done it? You would. You would have done it. You see, that is why some people, when they come to church, the pastor says, Charlie, let's pray. Let's believe God. He said, is that all? But you know, I can also preach in a certain way. Right? That will touch your itching ears. But everybody has different personalities. I don't preach jumping. No, what is that? No, I come for aerobics. I came to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I have my own personality. Some people too, they scream and shout, but that is also their personality. It doesn't mean that the person screaming and shouting is more power. You cannot equate power with the way the person screams and shouts. Yeah, you can't do that. You know, Naaman was proud. And he almost went back with his quarter, his leprosy. He almost went back. He took the young girl to say that, my master, just humble yourself. Just calm down. If he had asked you to go and swim, just go. It is very easy to do that. But sometimes when we come to God, we determine how we want to be saved. We determine the move of the Spirit. How the move of the Spirit should be before we lift up our hands and say that we need to be saved. You have determined your own salvation. It is pride. But the call of Zacchaeus was a humbling. Amen. Humbling. Amen. Or should I give you some more? Okay, I'll give you two more and then I'll be done. It was an abiding call, permanent call, abiding call. Jesus said that today I will abide in you. Not that today I'll come and peep. I'll come and see what is in your house. But today I will come and then I will live with you. He is knocking at your door. And he says that if you can only hear and then you open the door, I will come and then I will abide. You see, abide means you will come and stay. Not that you will come and pass through. Jesus desires to abide with us. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to abide with us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abide means your resident, where you live. So Jesus is saying that the call of Zacchaeus was an abiding call. Jesus desires to abide with us. He doesn't want to just browse through and go. He wants to come and stay with us until the end. Go through your problems with you. Cry with you. Wipe your tears away with you. Solve the problems with you. He wants to come and abide. And you have to give him an opportunity to abide with you. And he told Zacchaeus that I'm not coming just to run through your house and see what you have. I just want to make where you live. Where I also live. Where you live, I want to make it my home. And God is always looking for his children. Are we not God's children? Listen, one of the painful things that a parent goes through is when the kids grow up and they don't mind the parents anymore. They are in their rooms. It's like there's nobody in the house. You open the door, you want to say hello to them, you want to fellowship with them. But as soon as you go, if they are having any conversation, they stop. It's like,
What do you want? What do you want? You see, you have not experienced that. Maybe because your kids are small. But I want to come and abide with them. I want to come and talk to them. Come and find out what their problem is. So that I can see whether I can solve it. Or I can help them. But no. Jesus wants to abide with us. And we must open the door when we hear his call. When he gives us the invitation, we should hold on to it. Are you understanding what I mean? Yes. Next, the call is a necessary call. How many points do you have?
Six.
Tell me, number one is what? And mercy. Okay, number two is what? Number three? Number four? Five. Abide and call. Okay. Okay, let me give you the sixth one. It is an affectionate call. Affectionate. When you read the story, don't you see that God really loved Zacchaeus? He loved him. He loved him. It was an affectionate call. It was because of the love he had for him. The affection he had for him. That was why he took a detour. Because he was not going to Jericho. His final destination was in Jerusalem. But why would he have to go through Jericho? Dangerous city. Full of thieves and robbers. 419s and robbers. And no. But it was because of the love. So Jesus did not care about the criticisms. He didn't care. People were criticizing him that you have gone to be a guest of a sinner. And his answer was, and so what? That was why I came. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was an affectionate call. You see, for you to know that God loves you, look at the price he paid for you. If God was to die for only you, he would still have done it. Yesterday when we went out for evangelism, one guy was telling me that, look, God has many children, so he is not going to listen to me alone. He has many children, so I have to try and then make it on my own. I said, oh, look at that. You have missed it. Do you know what it costs God for you to be saved? It is only love that can cost. You see, when a man loves you, he buys you iPad and phone, and you think that he has done something for you. And then a used car, you see, that drive it. But that is not an expression of love. That is not an expression of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life. That is love. Hallelujah. That is love. It was an affectionate call. So he said that, look, I am seeking you. I sought after you. It was because of you that I came. You are a sinner and I'm the son of God. Don't worry about what people will say. Don't. But because of the love I have for you, I will come and then show you my affection. You deserve it. The love of God is so powerful. Hallelujah. The love of God is so powerful. And the last point I want to give to you is that the call was a necessary call. It was very necessary. Very necessary. Because the last time that Zacchaeus was going to see him was that time. After that time, he won't. Because he was going to die afterwards. And the call of God and our salvation is extremely important. There is nothing that is so important than our salvation and our relationship with God. You see, there may be a time in your life that all the money you have may not solve your problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was very necessary that Jesus had to go through Jericho to save Zacchaeus.
A lot of people are dying. But we are in the church drinking naked juice and Snapple. Meanwhile, there are many people dying. It's a necessary call. We have to tell them about a Savior who is born, who desires that everyone will be saved. And there is nobody who must not be saved. We must send the good news because it is necessary. Hallelujah. The greatest gift you can give to somebody is the gift of salvation. That is the greatest gift.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I am praying that this month will not only be a month that you will win a soul, but it must be an integral part of your life. Stand up and let us pray. Amen. Lift up your hands in this place. Pray to God and tell the Lord that maybe I have not done so well by not extending the good news to the lost, but you are giving me another opportunity. For he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we are so sorry for ignoring your work. And we are praying in the name of Jesus that, Father, you will give us another opportunity. Make us soul winners. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you are here and you are not born again, maybe you have been coming to church. Every day a call is made, but you have hardened your heart. Pride has entered in, so you can't give your life to Christ. If you are here, repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. I pray and I confess my sins. Forgive me my sins, Lord. Come into my life and make me a child of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Put your hands together for your pastor.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.